Today is such an exciting day. We get to baptize six people in this church. If you could just look up here, and six people being baptized, and all of them became Christian through the ministry of New Heart. I'm not saying anything about human work, okay? I'm just saying, okay, church need to see people come to know the Lord, okay? And it so happened that three of them are my personal friends, personal friends from my high school years. Many of you will remember my testimony probably like a year and a half ago. You know, a friend came to me after crises in his life, and now he wants to profess his faith in public. What he believes in the inside, now he's making it known, right? And he's gonna be baptized. And he brought two other my high school friends from 30, 40 years ago to church. I'm sharing this because you have friends too, right? I just want you to recall, where are they? What are they doing? Not that I've done anything special for them, but I think it is special that somehow, just think about it. These are my childhood friends, and not I, but I will be baptizing them, okay? Just think about that. So it's a very exciting day, and I'm sharing this with you because that's what it means to be a church. That's what it means to be a Christian, okay? That's what it means to be a church. That's what it means to be a Christian, okay? And today, we're with the title of the message, as we continue this Christianity Explored series, which is from England, okay, London. We came across this, you know, system last year in 2017, and nothing special, but very straightforward gospel is what we need to hear, not packaged and watered down, diluted gospel, which is no gospel. You know, people say, if you water it down, it is to love you. No, it is to hate you, because it will kill you. It's not going to save you. Okay? So today, message title is, You Are My Beloved Son. This is what God spoke, right? Audibly, I believe, when Jesus was baptized. And someone asked me this week, and not to say anything negative about that. Now, I know God said that to Jesus, and that's wonderful, but how does that apply to me? Okay, how does that apply to me? And I was like, wow. Some of you know the answer, and some of you don't. In the gospel of Jesus Christ, this is what God speaks to you every single day. But my thought was this, not that that person who's asking the question, I feel, wow, she doesn't know that? Not that. I think if you don't know it here, that's fine. But you heard this many, many, many times, but if you don't know it here, that's a problem. Real problem. I mean, real problem. Do you understand? I mean, you may know the formula, but if you don't know who you are, and let's say you go to church for all your life, that's tragic. And I want to share this today with the heart, because just like John the Baptist say, right, we're going to have water baptism, and then there's going to be Holy Spirit baptism. One is a sign, the other one is real. Okay, I'm going to explain in that. And if you don't know, my prayer is that you will come to know the truth and saving relationship with Jesus Christ. That's my prayer. Saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And this applies to the youth group too. You're not too young to understand this. Absolutely, I believe that. Okay? Absolutely, I believe that. Okay? You're not too not developed to understand this gospel. Absolutely, every single one of you is capable with the help of the Lord, right? So I shared this question last week, and I want to ask it again. Who is your euangelion? Because of the time's sake, I'm not going to explain this, you know, like last week. You should listen to last week's message if you want to know about that. Euangelion is not a word that Christians just kind of made it up. It goes back thousands of years, and it was the word of the Roman Empire, okay? Which means good news, okay? He was the euangelion of the Roman Empire. Roman Empire at the time is much bigger than United States of America. It was the entire world reigned by one country, one kingdom, and one ruler, one Caesar, and that's him. Caesar Augustus, okay? Emperor Augustus, Octavian, who is the nephew of Julius Caesar, if you remember the history, and he conquered and kind of like put the empire together by beating Antony and Cleopatra in North Africa. He became the emperor, and he became the euangelion. What does that mean? Okay, there are a lot of inscriptions and statues of Octavius, Caesar Augustus, Emperor Augustus, all of the Roman Empire, and it says, look at this, the Son of God, who brought good news, euangelion right here, good news, of peace to the world. How do you like that? Okay? This is before Mark was written, way before, 9 BC, okay? Way before Jesus came into the scene. This is the common language, and this is what people believed, right? This is the Son of God. He is the Savior. He is the good news of the world who brings peace. Pax Romana, because under his reign, there was a peace in Roman Empire for 200 years. 200 years, as if it's going to last forever, but it didn't, right? So that as a background, I just want to jump right in, okay? Oh, if you recall how Mark's gospel begins, it begins like this. The beginning of the euangelion of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Exactly the same inscription, just the name has been replaced. So I'm asking you, who is your euangelion? Who is your Savior? Who is your Lord? Seriously, this is the question. Okay? So, if you read Mark carefully, one of the big question of the first half of the book is, who is Jesus Christ? He stated right in the beginning, he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Okay? Isaiah says he is the Lord who created heavens and the earth. Someone who could control something like Roman Empire. He's the one who places Octavius and drop him down when the time is up. He's the one, and he came. The kingdom has come, okay? And John the Baptist preached this. This was the message of John the Baptist. He preached message of repentance, message of judgment. I told you last week, judgment is the bad news if you don't have a Savior. But that's a reality. That's the gospel. Without the bad news, what's the good news? What is so good about good news if there is no bad news? Everything is handy and dandy. What do you mean there's a good news? When your life is crumbling down, when you're in complete darkness, when you know you're helpless, when you know you're hopeless, when you begin to realize, I'm not that strong. I could get inflicted with, you know, flu and could die next week. Flu. I was just driving today to church. 58 people died in the United States in this season. Just by flu. Can you believe that? In the United States, 58 infants died. We're not that powerful. You're not that invincible. When you begin to realize that, when God graced you, you begin to see that. Isaiah says, your life is like a grass. And the glory of this life is like flowers. Grass withers and flowers fall. We have beautiful flowers back there. For those who are being baptized, I'm so jealous. So beautiful, so tiny, you know? But given a couple days, that's gone. It's nothing. And basically, the Bible is saying your life is like grass. And the glory of this life is like flowers. Grass withers, flowers fall. You know why? Because the breath of the Lord breathe upon you. Do you hear it? Do you hear it? But the word of the Lord stands forever. As soon as he explains that, smallness of men, and then Isaiah speaks about the greatness of God. And he kind of say it like this in Isaiah 40. He has the waters, the oceans, in the hollow of his hand. You got to picture this. You have little space here when you do this. And God has his hand, of course, speaking in human term, and the Indian Ocean and Pacific Ocean is right there. That's how great he is. One, Indian Ocean, Pacific Ocean, Mediterranean, in his hollow of his hand. And he measures the sky with his hand. And every host of the universe, he named them and placed them there. And he also said, one of my favorite verse, all the nations, including Roman Empire, including United States, is like a drop of water in a bucket. Can I just ask you, I need you to think about this. Let's say I have water full of, in this flask. How many drops do you think is in here? How many drops? 1,000? 10,000? Million? It's like in that kind of category. And basically the Bible is saying United States is one drop in a bucket to the Lord. And he came. That's the gospel. That's the Evangelion. Okay? That's the claim of the gospel. And John the Baptist preached, I baptize you, with water, which is what we're going to do today. But the one who is coming, Jesus, the Yahweh, the Creator, he's going to baptize you with God Spirit, Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about this. I'm trying to explain. One is sign, and one is the great reality. Okay? What we do is just a sign. Sign is very, very important. Driving from Washington, D.C., driving on 95 North, right? I'm heading toward New York. New York is my home. I love when I see the sign that says JFK. When I come from missions trips and things like that, when I come to JFK, dirty, smelly airport, I feel like I'm home. I love that. So I'm driving up from Washington, D.C. on 95 North, and I'm getting really tired, and I see a sign that says New York City, 75 miles. Oh, I could get there in an hour and a half because I might drive slow, right? Paul could probably get there in 45 minutes. When I see that sign, I'm so happy. Oh, I'm almost home. Now, can I just tell you, is that sign important? Yes, it is important because it points to New York City, my home. But can I just also ask you this question? Is that sign the reality of New York? No. That's just a sign. That's how it is. Baptism is a sign. But that there is the reality of great New York City. Do you understand that? Right? What is the reality of baptism of Holy Spirit? What is that pointing toward to? Could it be any less than New York City? Indian Ocean is in his palm, hollow of his hand. And do you think New York City is the reality of the kingdom is so much bigger? That's what I'm trying to tell you, my brothers and sisters. So after the prelude, this is the first scene of King of King in the gospel. In other words, sort of like inauguration of the king. Okay? What does it look like? Baptism. Okay? Baptism is his first appearance, inauguration of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In those days, Jesus came from Lazarus, of Galilee, and he was baptized by John in the Jordan River, okay? And when he came up, like, so he was dunked, immersed. When he come out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens. Would you take a look at this carefully? Three significant things. Heaven being torn open. You got to look at this very carefully. Heaven being open. Where do you see that? Okay, not only that, the Spirit of living God descending on him like a dove. Fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah 62, when the Messiah comes. Spirit of God came upon him. Okay? And the third, which is an incredible thing, a voice came from heaven. You are my beloved son. So Father is speaking. Which Father? Father of the King. Who's that? Father God. Right? You are my beloved son. With you I am well pleased. So if you could just, you know, just give enough attention to what is happening here, you know something significant is happening. This is the first scene. Heaven is being torn open. Holy Spirit came down, and Father God spoke. In other words, the whole Trinity is in action. Could it be a small thing? Right? I don't know whether you remember this. Inauguration of President Trump, 2017. Okay? I just got this picture. I Googled it, how many people showed up? About 600,000 people. 600,000 people, which is an average number. Okay, people, you might think, Mr. Trump, probably less people showed up. No, average number showed up. 8 years ago, when President Obama, Barack Obama, became president in 2009, historic number, 1.8 million people gathered in Washington, D.C. to celebrate for the inauguration of Barack Obama. That's just the President of the United States of America. The King of Kings came, who has the Indian Ocean and the Pacific Ocean in the hollow of his hand. What is that? What did the inauguration look like? This is the Jordan River. Not a large river. If you look at it, it's maybe a little wider than this building, maybe twice the size, not that big. In a dry season, it's much smaller. Okay? How many people showed up? I don't know. People were being baptized, and Jesus came actually to be baptized. Right? Do you see what's going on? Right? Why did he get baptized? What is baptism about? What was John the Baptist's baptism about? He preached, you must repent. You must have your sin to be forgiven. And somehow the Spirit of God was speaking to the people. That's why people were coming to the Jordan River and they were being baptized, right? Right here, immersed and come out. What does that do? Nothing. It's just a sign of being washed away, your sin being washed. Can I just ask you, have you ever taken a bath? We don't have a bathtub in our house. So it's been a little while. Have you ever taken a bath when you're really dirty and you kind of like scrub your skin? Right? And you're in that bathtub until water gets too cold and you can't take it anymore, you come out. And you look at this water. It's pretty dirty, right? And you have all these, what do you call that? The skin epithelial layer, right? Dirty thing on the side. It's pretty dirty. Can you imagine 100 people bathed it in one bathtub? I don't even want to think about it. I don't even want to think about some of you guys. I don't want to put my foot in there. 100 of you. That's pretty filthy. And Jordan River, entire Judean County and Jerusalem came out and they were being baptized. What was happening there? Their sins were being washed away, symbolically or as a sign. So that river is completely polluted with sin. And then Jesus comes along, holy God, and he dunked himself in there. What's going on? Is that for the forgiveness of his sin? It can't be. Cannot be. And by the way, would you even want to put your foot in there if you are clean? I don't think so. But he did. And that was the first appearance of the King of Kings and Holy God, Jesus. Why? Right? What is the baptism about? You know what baptism is about? We got to go to Romans, okay? One word I want to introduce. Let me read it to you. What is baptism about? Okay, what are we believing in? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ, we were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism. Sounds like death, right? Okay, into death. In order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead as he comes out of the water, right? By the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. So there is something about new life, completely new life, right? But here's the word that I want to introduce. But if you have been united, that's the word, united with him in his death like this. In other words, if you are baptized with him, you are being united with him. Okay, that's the key word, key gospel theological word you must understand. Okay, if you are united with him in his death, you shall certainly be united with him in his resurrection, like with him. You know what baptism is about? You're being united with him. Okay, where do we see that word? Only other place that we see that word in the Bible is getting married. A man shall leave his mother and father and be united to his wife. Okay? That's why marriage is so important. That's why enemy attacks the marriage. That's why enemy makes you hate your spouse. That's why there are so many broken marriages, and marriages are being alterated, adulterated, and just getting crazy these days. Enemy knows what he's doing. It's just that we don't know. But you know what baptism is about? Being united with Christ. But we're dirty. We're filthy. When Jesus dunked himself into the water, immersed himself into the water, can you imagine all that polluted sin just put upon him? If you remember, though, in the Old Testament, right, there is an incurable disease called leprosy. I don't think it's incurable any longer. There aren't that many leprosies, but in the Old Testament, in the biblical time, that was like the thing. That was like the worst kind of sickness. It doesn't mention anything about cancer, but it speaks a lot about leprosy. Okay, leprosy is a disease that's contagious. And in the book of Leviticus, which is about the law of the community of Israel, if you have a leprosy, you have to expel them, separate them. And then you just kick them out from the community, and then you don't talk to them, and you don't associate with them, and you just separate them, right? Because, quote, sin, they have been cursed, right? So you're not supposed to touch them, and when you see in a distance they're approaching you, you're supposed to cry out three times, unclean, 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 meaning don't come near us, right? Can you imagine that, right? You have some skin disease, unclean, unclean, unclean in front of everybody, and you have to run. You'll be so shamed. But when Jesus came along, the King of Kings, he not only approached the lepers, but he touched the lepers. Unclean, unclean, unclean. You're not supposed to touch that. What happened though? The leprosy was healed. They become clean. Do you know when unclean things in contact with Jesus, you become clean. That's the gospel. That's the baptism. When unclean hearts, unclean lives, okay, maybe some of you struggle with your past sin. I've seen people like that. Will he ever forgive me everything? Forgive everything. Someone asked me this time, someone who was being baptized, okay, I understand he's going to forgive my sins, but he's going to remember this. See, they're brand new Christians. They don't know this, but he's going to remember this. I'm going to be so ashamed of in front of him. So I look up Bible verses. You know what the gospel is? Amazing thing is, God, who is omniscient, which means he knows everything, but when he forgives your sins, Bible says, he forgets your sin. How does that work? He's omniscient. He knows everything. Your past, present, and future, your intention, your desire, your inclination. He knows everything. Omniscient. And yet, I'm not going to remember your sin. Can you believe that? It's amazing. When filthy things come in contact with Jesus, the Redeemer, you become clean. So when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, you know what he was doing? He's being united with the sinners. Now think with me. Would you want to put your foot in there if 100 of us bathed in one water? I don't think so. Not me. But holy God, he immersed himself in the pool of sin of yours and mine. That's baptism. That's the inauguration. Okay? When Barack Obama, former president, was inaugurated, 1.8 million Americans and people from all over the world probably came, and the world watched. But the King of Kings, who raises Barack Obama or Donald Trump or Putin, whoever it is, and he's the one who dethroned them, and he came and he was baptized in Jordan River, in the pool of your sin. Okay? Baptism is a sign. Okay? I already explained that. Okay? Baptism is a sign. New York City, 75 miles. That's not New York City, but that's an important thing because it points toward that great reality of New York City. Baptism is nothing. Water, what does that do? What does that do? But it's a sign. Sign of a great reality. Great reality of what? God cleanses you. Cleanses you completely so that God sees you and he say, you are my beloved. With you, I am so pleased. Did you hear that this morning before you come to church? What did you hear this morning? Because we all hear in the morning. Oh, another day. Will I make it through this day? What did you hear? You need to hear this. You know who speaks that? Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 5. And Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus. And when you are baptized by Jesus, the Holy Spirit is in your heart. It's in your heart. And he speaks to you. Listen to me. You are my beloved. And with you I am well pleased. Could you just say that to yourself? Really? Could you just try it? Okay? You are my beloved. With you I am well pleased. Does your father say that to you? I hope so. But some don't. Does your mother say that to you? You know, I heard a pastor speaking the other day. His father was a pastor, and he's a pastor. And over dinner, he shared something really, really striking to me. really loving father, but until he was 60 years old and he was like 85, 90 years old, he never said to him, "I'm so proud of you." How do you figure that out? Until 60 years old. But the Holy Spirit and Father God speaks to you every day to your heart. "You are my beloved. And with you, I am well pleased." That's the gospel. I don't know whether you believe that. Some of you can't. Some of you don't. Okay? One is a sign, and one is the real thing. One is the outside, water on the outside, right? It doesn't clean your guts inside, the Holy Spirit inside. One is just a symbol, and the other one is God. Do you see the difference? One is just the pointer, and the other one is the great reality of the kingdom. Do you believe it? That's what it means to be a Christian. Saving faith. Saving faith. Gospel of Jesus Christ. Washing with the water on the outside doesn't make your inside clean. It doesn't. It does not. Okay, baptism is a sign. And we're going to see three people being baptized today. And what an amazing blessing to this church. Because Westminster Large Catechism says, "Watching the baptism of others gives us an opportunity to practice a needful but much neglected duty of improving our baptism." This is Westminster Catechism, which is the solid book about Christian living. And basically, it's by us watching, it improves our baptism. What does that mean? Baptism is about cleansing and being purified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And as we watch that, something beautiful will happen in your heart if the Spirit of God lives in you. Right? That's what they're saying. Improving our baptism. Okay? Picture of Jesus washing our sin off of us with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, baptism not only serves as a picture of Jesus washing our sin, but also a picture of Him taking our sin, right? Because He jumped into that filthy water, pool of sin, and sin was all over Him. Can you picture that? It's a beautiful picture. Who would do that? I can't do that. Not only I won't do that, but I can't do that. I can't. Okay? So Jesus was inaugurated and immersed, not in front of 1.8 million people, but in Jordan River like this. Now in Washington, D.C., the mall, right behind that, the Capitol, right? That's it. Inauguration of baptism of Jesus Christ. Today I want to just introduce, there's another place that Jesus was baptized. You may be thinking, what? Jesus was baptized twice during his earthly ministry. That was first baptism. Second baptism happens at the end. One in the beginning and one at the end. Mark chapter 10, I'm going to go a little fast because we need to, yeah, I need to stop. Jesus on his way to Jerusalem, only a week away, and he was explaining about his suffering, pain, and death. And James and John, a brother, who are clueless about the gospel, and they came to him, and Jesus asked Jesus unthinkable thing. Basically, they thought Jesus was going to be the king of entire Roman world, or, you know, Israel or something. So, "Jesus, when you become a king, can you make me sit on the right, and can my brother on the left?" Right? And then Jesus answered them, "You do not know what you're asking. You are able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" What is he talking about? He was baptized in the beginning in the river of Jordan. Now he's talking about, you don't know what you're talking about. Do you know the baptism that I'm about to be baptized? Okay? And they say, this mindless people, clueless people, oh, we are able. And then Jesus said, the cup that I drink will drink, you will drink, and the baptism which I am baptized, you will be baptized. And if you want to be a Christian, you must be baptized with this baptism. Listen to me. Don't fall asleep. This is the baptism you need. What is he talking about? This is the baptism he's talking about. Right? His death. Baptism. One was in the beginning. This one is in the end. One was in the river. And this one is on a hill. One is a sign. And one is the reality. Jesus united with us in Jordan, and you must unite with him on the cross. You must. Without this, this means nothing. You're not a Christian. There is no salvation. There is no nothing, basically. You must understand this. Remember I showed this last week? Coronation of Christ. Evangelion is about coronation or enthronement. Evangelion, the gospel, is about who is the king of your life, Kyrios of your life, Lord of your life. Okay, I'll take the heaven. That's not it. Who is the Lord of my life? Savior of my life. Okay, I want to just close. So we have a very important things to do. So summarize, okay? I just want to summarize for you, if you could just listen to me. There are two baptisms in Jesus' ministry. One is in the river, and one is on a hill. One is water, the other one is wrath of God. Wrath of God. Blood of Jesus Christ. There is no river, but there is a wrath of God. One is symbolic, one is real. Okay? Both is about being united. You must be united with Christ, or else we have no hope, I mean, no chance whatsoever when you stand before the judgment. Doesn't matter what you are in this world, even president of this country, Donald Trump need to be united with Christ. Otherwise, he has no chance, okay? So we are to be united through baptism, but the real baptism is on the hill of Calvary. I just ask you to, yeah, this is where you need to unite it with him. You need to die to your sin. You need to die to your old way of life. You must turn if you want to have life. The king is coming, and we're being foolish. I set the term. No, you don't. You don't set the term. We are grass and flowers. He is king of kings. You don't set the term. But amazing gospel is, he loves you, but you don't. Right? So you must be united with him. Just one last word. I think this is it. I have been crucified with Christ. I've been united with him on Calvary. I have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live. Make no mistake about it. That's Christianity. But Christ lives in me. And the rest of my life, on this side of eternity, I live by faith in the Son of God, the Evangelion, my Evangelion, who loved me and gave himself for me. Baptism of Jesus Christ. You must be baptized, right? With the gospel and the Spirit of living God. Okay? Let's pray.